This is Cats Podcast, episode number 28. Welcome everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm super happy to have you here. I'm Cat, I'm your host, and today I'm having a beautiful conversation around self-love and self-healing for you. This is especially for the ladies listening. It's a conversation about growth and understanding ourselves better on all levels to ultimately be able to live in more alignment with vibrant health, joy, and authenticity. I'm chatting with Briya Roots, Ayurvedic health and lifestyle practitioner. Briya helps women optimize their energy, digestion, and overall health, teaching self-care and self-empowerment practices. And understanding the mind-body connection is a key aspect in her holistic approach to well-being. This conversation is a great mix of her own personal story of self-love and self-healing, the experiences a lot of us women make when it comes to loving and accepting ourselves just as we are, as well as hands-on holistic lifestyle tips. And be sure to not miss our little chat about coffee towards the end of the conversation if you're still wondering, is coffee good or bad for me? And now, enjoy this loving conversation with the amazing Briya Roots.
So there's definitely areas of growth. I'm definitely in the mindset of just focusing on financial stability at the moment. That's definitely something that I really want to invite into my life, because at the moment it can be quite inconsistent. You know, when you first start your own business, and 1 month it can be great, next month it's not so great, and then you don't realize it can be a little bit unstable. So I think for me it's definitely creating that stability financially. It's really important for my growth the next, you know, 6 to 12 months. Yeah, I just think it takes away from the actual expression of doing the purpose of why you're doing it, because I think, you know, a big part of it is like wanting to help people and be of service, but you can't be so much of service if you can't help yourself, and you can't create that stability financially. And it's definitely been a challenge for me the last year of I think, especially coming from my background of being a stripper and earning so much money at young age and not really understanding the value of money, and then going from being a entrepreneur, never ever experiencing this, and even just growing up not having role models in terms of financial role models, money was always an issue, you know. So for me it's like now changing that paradigm so I can create that abundance for, I am creating that abundance for myself, but to then be able to hold that expansion and feel worthy of keeping, you know, a certain level of comfort and of security and lifestyle that is really important to me and for my, you know, for my well-being, I think, for me to feel safe.
Yeah. So we're right in the discussion already. Now officially welcome. Welcome to my podcast, Briya. It's lovely having these little pre-chats with my guests and then just easing into the actual interview or the actual conversation. So we're here today to talk a lot about self-healing and self-love, and first and foremost, your journey of healing and liberation. And yeah, so welcome.
Thank you, Kat. So honored to be a part of the podcast. It's strange to be interviewed now because I'm so used to interviewing, but I can imagine it's nice actually to, I love talking. So I love, especially I think a lot of us like talking about our journeys, and for me it's really a powerful one. I think, yeah, just being on this journey of expansion, I think we all can experience, you know, we want growth and we want to excel in life, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. So yeah, my journey started, I guess, yeah, about 8 years ago, and I left originally where I was from in England, to kind of go on that exploration. And yeah, I was super curious. I really wanted to, yeah, just travel. And I didn't have this, like, I want to be, you know, a lawyer. I want to go to do this. I want to go to this university. I never went to university. I just had this deep desire to travel and to explore and to, I guess, find myself. Not that I knew it that's what it was.
So was this right after school then for you?
Yes, right. So I finished school. So I did an acting degree, acting diploma, and which wasn't really my thing. It was more my mum's thing. But I thought, oh, you know, I'm quite good at acting, so I'll do that. But I realized it wasn't really my dharma. It wasn't my path.
And yeah, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I saved up some money, you know, from an early age. I was like 14 and I was working from an early age. I saved up a little bit of money. And as soon as I turned 19, I got a ticket to New Zealand and to Australia, and then kind of started that journey into my self-discovery, I guess.
I got a few pieces of your story, but I reckon a lot of people who are listening, they don't know anything about you. So at the moment, you've been living on Bali for the past 3 years, and you work as an Ayurvedic lifestyle and health coach and practitioner.
Yeah.
But you didn't do that always. You actually did quite a hard turn at one point. So tell us, what brought you from actually being a topless waitress in Australia to Ayurvedic practitioner? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, so after traveling for a while, I found myself in Australia, in West Australia, in Perth. And yeah, it was something really beautiful about that country, and I'm still very in love with it. It's incredible, and I learned so much about myself and made some great connections. But at the time, I was, you know, poor backpacker wanting to travel and see the world. And yeah, I wasn't really finding a way to do that. So I remember one of my girlfriends, she, you know, secretly, like over the course of a couple of months, she was like having a new laptop, a new, you know, phone. And I was like, why are you getting all this money from anyway? And then turns out she, you know, in Western Australia is a big mining industry, and it's actually called skimpying. It's you know, you can say stripping, but it's actually wasn't stripping. So it's not like working in a club or anything. It's actually working in bars and pubs, and on a lot of the time, actually, we did a lot of work in you know, on yachts, on, you know, private planes, all this crazy stuff. And you know, I think the last 5 years in Australia, I was in this world of money, of wealth, of, you know, private planes and private islands, and I was just in this complete different different world. I'd never experienced anything like it. So I was working as a topless waitress, so I would kind of work on you know, bucks parties, stag nights, with people getting married, sorry, not women, men getting married. And yeah, and a big part of the industry in the west coast of Australia is they pay women for entertainment, so, you know, to look good and to serve drinks. And it was quite harmless in a sense, like, you know, I know a lot of women, you know, there is a slippery slope in that kind of job, and I'm very grateful that it didn't really affect me that much. Like, I was very clear on my boundaries, and I never, you know, allowed myself to be vulnerable in a sense. I didn't really drink or do any drugs, and I know a lot of women did, but I think my best friend and I, we did it together for about 5 years. And we really made a lot of money and traveled and did really good things with it. But I think looking back now, obviously, my transition, I honestly say, my hand on my heart, if I hadn't of had a big change in my life, I probably would still be doing that job, because it was so hard to get out of it. When you're earning, you know, thousands of dollars a week, for doing, you know, not that much, you know, obviously you're naked, which I think for a lot of people is quite a frightening thing. But for me, in that time of my life, it was actually probably the most funnest, coolest job. You know, I'm quite a wild woman, and I quite love, you know, my body. And I was always, you know, praised for my looks and stuff. So for me, it was definitely a job that I thought I was good at, but it didn't necessarily help me with my self-worth and my, you know, my confidence. I think it actually brought me into further separation of like females and kind of like just that that unhealthy competitiveness that we experience. And yeah, and a long story short, I did that job for about 5 years, and then my ex-partner and I were on this round the world trip. I'd saved up, you know, money with the job, and we went on this beautiful trip around the world and visited many places. for about 6 months, and then I couldn't get back into Australia. So I had to then, I had to think quickly, okay, where am I going to live? It was like the universe saying to me, and one of my quotes from one of our beloved teachers, Ross Reiger, is like, life is more than prepared to teach you your lessons in their gentler forms. And if you're not prepared to listen, life is more than prepared to teach you in forever-ending hardship. And I think that was that smack in the face. I spent about $20,000 to stay in Australia. I mean, over the 5 years, definitely more money I spent just to stay working in that industry. And obviously, I earned it back, so it was all relevant. But at the time, my whole life turned because my partner was in Australia and I ended up coming to Bali. And it wasn't actually a choice that I was like, oh, I want to go live in Bali. It was like, I have to live in Bali. It's the only place close enough for me to wait until my visa gets accepted. Mm-hmm. But it didn't get accepted. It got declined after about a year of going back and forth. And my ex-boyfriend was, he would come and fly over and see me every 2 or 3 weeks. And then we ended up slowly drifting apart. And that's when my Dharma journey really began. And I guess I really had to figure a way to sustain myself and actually unlock the potential that I knew I had inside of me. But I just didn't realize that I was even capable of doing more than just getting naked.
You actually touched on a lot of interesting aspects. So you said one thing that I think is very common and that a lot of people struggle with, be it in a phase of growth or changing career paths or, liberating yourself from a permanent job, going into a freelance business or becoming a solopreneur, is this that you're staying in this money loop or in this, there's this temptation to make more money actually than you maybe need. That's one aspect I want to just now dive in a little bit deeper, because it can be so of so much value for the listeners to see how people like you, and I've talked about it with other guests on my Freedom Lifestyle Edition, how they were able to disconnect from that or liberate themselves from that belief or that urge to stay in that loop, to make money and money and money, but to actually focus on what they really want and on their priorities and on the life that they want to create. So was it just this coincidence or this, life telling you, hey, you can't get into Australia anymore? Or was there something else to it that made you actually realize, oh, there's another way of living. I don't have to be in this constant loop of making money or in this temptation?
I that's a good question. I was really in the matrix at that point, I think, because for me that money was really so exciting and so desirable, and really that the traditional teachings are really based on this, the Purushaktas, which I love teaching with clients. It's like, we can have material wealth, we can have success, which is incredible, and we do definitely need that in our life to sustain us and to nourish us. But there's a part of ignorance is bliss, I believe, and I was definitely ignorant at that point, is because I had everything, my needs were met, I was just in the comfort zone. I didn't need to reach out, and I didn't need to expand my potential in terms of, I wasn't pushed to see what I was capable of, because I didn't really need to. I just was very comfortable. And I think that's the big piece there that I think a lot of people can resonate with, is like, sometimes we're forced to wake up. We're forced to have a health issue, or get, smacked in the face, or get kicked off Australia and banned to come back into the country, for life to really show us that we're on the wrong path and we're not in alignment with our purpose, with our Dharma. And really, that's not just a specific profession. It's really an uncovering and of our potential, and really filling that place in the world that only we can fill. And usually that does tie in with our profession. And I think looking back now, I realize what I'm doing now is so much more fulfilling in so many different ways. I'm definitely not earning as much money yet, but I know that my soul and you know, physically I'm in alignment. I feel a lot more healthy and energized. I'm not suppressing and numbing myself like I was when I was working as a topless waitress.
So how did you get to Ayurveda then? How did you come across it? What fascinates you and fascinated you about it, diving into it deeper and ultimately making it your profession?
Well, since moving to Bali, or getting stuck in Bali, I discovered the practice, which is obviously a common place that we both are familiar with. I just fell in love with the traditional teaching, and I really believe that I wanted, you know, subconsciously I wanted to evolve in some way. And I think I'd already been a yoga teacher, so I had my yoga teacher qualification, but I didn't really teach that much, even though I loved it. But I because I was earning so much money, and I, you know, I didn't really prioritize it. And then I came to Bali and I was like, I'm gonna prioritize my yoga. So the closest studio was the practice, and I started learning about traditional tantric hatha yoga and diving into kind of practices and you know, all of this incredible stuff. And that kind of led me to an Ayurvedic practitioner training with Brad Hay, and yeah, and a couple of different events, working with Octavio David's David, I think, is an incredible man. He's healing people from cancer and really embodied in the mind body connection. And I think growing up, I've always had that that area of holistic health. My mum, she does loads of holistic health. She's a masseuse, she's she does homeopathy, you know, she's a medicine woman in her own way. So growing up, I had this like this familiarity is like food is medicine, and our thoughts are very powerful. So I think with that knowledge, it was like, as soon as I came to Bali, a bit cliche, but it was like I was remembering Ayurveda. I was remembering these ancient wisdom, you know, of just simplistic things, but so profound. And really, I use it to help my own suffering. I had a lot of digestive issues, and I definitely think due to the job that I was doing and just not being in alignment in other ways. So I started to apply Ayurveda into my life just for my own healing, and then saw how powerful it was. And that's when I started diving deeper into courses, and I got my practitioner certification. And then, yeah, and then one thing led to another. My money was running out and I had no savings left. Yeah. And I was like, well, I need to do something with this calling. And I felt very strongly towards Ayurveda. And I had no idea at that time that I would be doing the things I'm doing now. But I just trusted that my heart was, you know, putting me in the right path.
That's super powerful, and that's so good when you have this faith or this trust that this is your path, and also it's quite rocky maybe at the moment, or there's no money, you know, that this is the thing you have to like walk on or follow. And I loved what you said about coming to Bali, and then for you it was like a reconnection. Like you had all these elements from your childhood and growing up, and then going to that place, Bali, it all came together, or you made that reconnection on a deeper level. For me, it's quite fascinating to see how certain places can trigger, well, in a perfectly positive sense here, can trigger something inside us or can help us remember certain things. How do you see it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think often or not, you know, there's this saying, it's like we can't get better in a place that we fell sick, whether that be an environment, a work, a job, a relationship. And I think for us to sometimes change our perception and see things from a higher perspective, we have to shift our reality, and whether that be our physical environment, which for me was a big thing, because like I said, I was numb. I thought my little reality was perfect, and I didn't really want anyone to burst my bubble. And I probably, like I said, or I probably would have been still doing the same job, but internally very dissatisfied and unfulfilled, and that would have definitely related to health issues, you know, later on in life. And I know that now, working with so many you know, entrepreneurs and people, you know, like yourself in like corporate settings, and mainly female, you know, leaders, and they're in this like this masculine role. And I was definitely in a role that didn't serve my highest growth. And I think when we are out of balance, you know, in that area, it definitely over time will impact our emotional health with fatigue, headaches, hormonal issues. For me, it was digestive issues. I was overeating. I was suppressing myself with, you know, things, food, sex, you know, all the things that we like to distract ourselves with. And that can only happen for, you know, a short amount of time. Eventually, I believe, you know, and Ayurveda believes that we fall sick due to a failure of our wisdom. And that means that when we are not on the right path, on our dharmic mission, or, you know, unlocking this potential that we all have inside of us, life will keep showing us, you know, in gentle ways, but then in hard ways, and eventually a big smack in the face, until we wake up and we smell that bullshit that we've been the bullshit that we've been in, and that we've been blind to.
Yeah, that's actually the right buzzword. We had a chat a couple of weeks ago, and you said, well, that's one of my goals for 2021, no more bullshitting. And I loved how you said that. And it's so, so honest and straight out. So what does it mean for you? No more bullshitting.
Ooh. I mean, I'm still figuring that out, I think. But I think a big part of my growth is, like, I think last year I was definitely a bit more on my high horse. I mean, I think when we start learning something, especially because it's helped us so much, we can easily think that we know everything about it. And I think last year I grew a lot in a short space of time, but I do think that it was not sustainable. And now, you know, having a little bit of time out and just being a bit more reflective and just learning, you know, the self-love journey really is, I think, that grace and humility. And sometimes we have to experience that through some hardship. Not always, but I think I've had definitely some twists and turns last year that kind of made me realize that I'm not as amazing as I think I am sometimes. And I think, yeah, it was just a big transition from going in this world of like everyone praising me for being this like cute chick naked all the time, like having fun, and you know, being in this such a different, you know, environment with different people, to then actually being, look, I want to help people, I want to be of service, like I want to help women and empower them instead of criticize and being competition with them like I have been in the past. How can I empower them, and how can I, through my own authentic embodiment, you know, share the wisdom of Ayurveda in my own way and actually stand for something. And really, I had to really shift out of that kind of like ego doing it for myself and actually thinking of how can I make impact and really be of service. And I think previous years, you know, I've just really been selfish. I'm like, how can I make money in the shortest amount of time? And obviously, you know, I think now looking back, I realized that just definitely wasn't my higher self. So I think just using this wisdom of yoga, Ayurveda, and, you know, meditation, and just being around really supportive people has really helped me see my own bullshit and see where I cause my own suffering, my own separation. And yeah, just the coming back to that place of wholeness and authenticity and vulnerability just allows for such beautiful connection to take place.
Yeah, beautiful. I want to go back to what you said before, that your job in Australia actually brought you further away from other females. Like the separation went, the separation grew instead of like getting closer to other women. And I still feel, I mean, it's actually quite interesting, because for me, it's also something in my growth journey that I have been experiencing over the past years, that I try to be more, let's say, more inclusive. And I'm really working on, you know, not being jealous, but like being happy for others more. And it's not that I'm not happy for others, but I'm sure like all of us women, we can relate to this, that we see another woman and sometimes it's like, oh, why is she there? Why does she have that? Why am I not there? Why don't I have that? And I feel that this energy is still too dominant in our Western society. So what was the biggest insight for you, you know, shifting from that separation perspective to including women and making deeper connections and, you know, also from your perspective, working with women now?
I think it shifted for me because I came from a real place of lack a lot of my life in terms of not feeling I have enough, not feeling good enough. And I think the job in Australia, it really amplified the things that I was good at and my, you know, my ego characteristics, like my physical, you know, side. And I think that amplified, you know, definitely showed where I was potentially kind of on that, you know, high seat and thinking I was better than other women because of the job that I was doing, the money that I was making, and the men obviously, you know, paying for it. And I think that really caused that separation and just, you know, I think, yeah, just being in that competitive environment really didn't bring out the qualities that I know are within me, which are really now I'm using. You know, I used to get paid by men and now I'm getting paid by women to empower them and to, you know, help them optimize their energy and feel really good and sustain them throughout their growth. And that's really important to me because I feel like I'm coming from a place of wholeness, or I'm trying to come, you know, I'm not fully there yet. But I think the more I love myself and the more compassion I have for myself, over time, that's just grown for other people. So I can really have that sense of, equality. And I think, of course, I still get envious. I still get jealous. You know, I definitely admit that. But it's actually, I catch myself in those moments of I feeling not enough. And I realize that's just, there's nothing to do with them. It's just a part of myself that's not fully healed. So I think having that acceptance of where I'm at and trusting that I'm, you know, we're all on this journey together. And I think since running women's circles and you know, even interviewing people on my podcast, it's like, oh, okay, I have really cool, empowering women that are a bit older than me, they're a bit more, you know, probably more intelligent, they earn more money, and, you know, really shifting my own feelings of not feeling good enough and seeing how I can turn that around, be like, wow, how inspired am I that, you know, they're sharing this wisdom with me, and I see it now as all part of the growth journey. So, yeah, it's always a progress, though. There's always times where you can, you know, have the lower mind switched on. And I think that's a big part of why we do what we do and the things that we embody and practice to help us remember who we are and not forget who we're trying to be, who we're trying to become.
Yeah. So let's dive into self-love a little bit more. I know it's one of your big topics and it's one of your, well, personal milestones or personal cornerstones you've been working on over the past years. And so how do self-love and self-healing go together for you, and why is self-love key? I'm asking that's also because, you know, there's a lot of buzz or hype out there at the moment. That's how I perceive it. Oh, you know, it's all about self-love and different concepts. And so help us ground it into the Ayurvedic wisdom and the self-healing context.
Well, I think for me that the thing that's been the most powerful is just understanding how powerful the mind is. And a big part of the work that I do with women is, yes, I can help you fix your digestive issues or your fatigue, or, you know, you have struggles with your periods, etc. But, you know, pulling back those layers, there's an element, or there is a statement that comes from either a place of lack, from a place of fear, from anger, that, you know, there's a root emotion that often that we don't realize, you know, no one wants to say they don't love themselves. Everyone, I guess, thinks they love themselves. I thought I loved myself. I was in love with myself, but I didn't love myself. It's a difference, you know. But I think for me, it's the mind-body connection is so powerful. And like I said, we can treat the symptomatic relief, but it's going to keep coming back in a different way. It's going to keep reoccurring until you uncover the root cause, which is usually an emotion, you know, energy emotion that's trapped in the body from a lot of the time from childhood, from our parents. Unfortunately, you know, we're all in this kind of, I think, self-development stage where we're growing and we want to like overcome any blind spots. And a lot of us have experience in our life, you know, not in a horrible way, but some form of emotional event that has caused us to basically trade in our authenticity for our attachment. So our attachment is that attachment need for our parents, love and approval. And it's the basic core needs of, you know, developmental psychology. It's like, we as babies, we need attachment, otherwise we die. So what happens is if we don't have that attachment, if we don't create that attachment, we basically, our needs are not met. So a lot of the time we trade in our authenticity as humans for that need of attachment. So we suppress that anger inside of us because our mommy says it's not good to be angry. Good girls don't get angry. You know, boys don't cry. We suppress that anger inside of us. And over, you know, years of us suppressing, and not just from our parents, from cultural, social, you know, economical things. It's not just all about parents' fault. It wasn't their fault anyway. It's, you know, it's just lineage stuff. Yeah. And over time, you know, we have this belief deep inside of us, whatever it may be. It's like, I'm not, one of my clients was, I'm not safe to take up space in this world. So how did that affect her showing up in her life? Well, then it showed her up, but she couldn't even connect with females and other people because she didn't feel worthy of love and acceptance because she didn't experience that growing up. So a big part of Ayurveda is like removing these layers. And I really work with, like, in my program, the four pillars. So it's all about physical health. You know, most people, they want physical health issues resolved. So of course, you know, you're not gonna say, you know, someone comes to me and they have a digestive issue. A lot of the time when we do the inner work, it's like, okay, you're having a digestive issue, but why are you having a digestive issue? And the mind for that, the you know, the metaphysical issue is, why can you not digest your life experiences? So when we keep repeating the same thing, the same shitty experience, the same relationship, the same, we keep getting the same health issue, we keep bumping into the same thing and getting the same results. We're not digesting our life and turning it into wisdom. Same with our food. We can't digest our food and turn it into nourishment. So when you start to see these like links between the physical symptom and the psychological root, the psycho-spiritual root cause, is so much deeper than that. And, you know, you can't fix that you can fix that and help the symptom, relieve the symptom. But then it's just the same as Western medicine. And Ayurveda is really, we need the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. And that's really the four pillars of what I work with, is how can we resolve the physical through diet, through cleansing, through self-care? Then how can we resolve the mental through creating calm and stability within through meditation, pranayama, self-reflection practices, swadhyaya. And then we have this emotional piece of like, how can we build this emotional resilience to overcome these limiting beliefs that we have so ingrained into our subconscious? That's like 20, 30 years of programming that we need to release. So how can we set intention to overcome that? And that takes time, that takes discipline, and just really repetition and really wanting to, you know, having a vision of becoming something greater than your old identity. And then you have the spiritual, which is based on the purushottas, you know, the four desires of the heart. And that really is to be in alignment physically, so have our needs met, a roof over our head, abundance, that's artha. And then we have the need for dharma, which is actually first. Dharma is that purpose, you know, that desire to become something. It doesn't necessarily matter what it is, but really having that desire to actualize our potential. And we can't do that if we have constipation, I tell you that. And then we have the desire.
Good example.
Yeah. And then
I love it. It's so good because I think that's what a lot of times is not seen, that you have to tend to the, let's say, lowest hanging fruits first. You have to tend to your physical ailments first, because if your knee is hurting or you have constipation, you won't be able to sit still in meditation. And so there's an obstacle that you have to get to first, and then follows the rest.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, the other two that the Purushottas, so for us to be in a fulfillment, though, those four desires need to be in alignment. So the desire for intimacy, connection, the desire for purpose, the desire for freedom to, you know, feel, you know, we can just wake up in the morning and have that sense of freedom and not feel weighed down by our mind, which is, you know, sometimes a little bit overwhelming for many of us. I know, you know, before I practiced meditation, it really was so huge, the anxiety that I experienced. I think, of course, it's never going to go away, but that gets less and less, and you have that emotional resilience to deal with it. And I think that's something that I'm really passionate about teaching, is, you know, like we can look at the symptom, we can, you know, look at your fatigue, why you're low in energy, and yes, it might be a nutritional deficiency, but really when we look at the, you know, the mind-body connection, fatigue is usually a lack of love for what one does. And, you know, acne, for example, is not loving the self. So when I start to see this in my work, and I start to, you know, I give all these solutions at the beginning, I'm like, why is it not working, you know? And then just through practice and through, I guess, my own inquisitive nature, like, how can I really look at these four pillars, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual? And that's where the healing is. It's those four areas. It's not just the first layer, unfortunately. And when we can find someone or have be guided in that sense, then we can really actualize that potential, become who we're meant to be, feel energized and really grow in a sustainable way without burning out. And I think that's a big part of what I love, is like, how can we optimize our energy and growth and sustain our well-being and not feel depleted? Because I know so many people, because they've traded in that, you know, that authenticity piece, or they've traded in that desire for wholeness to become something, to achieve something, to get validation from something, because they have that lack within, eventually that's going to, over time, affect the body and the mind if we're not in that alignment with that true essence of our soul, and that true calling for us to share our unique gifts in the world in whatever way is possible.
Yeah. I mean, that happens all the time, you know, being attached to some outer thing, be it your car, your house, your, I don't know, your design furniture, or, as you said, external gratification in some other sense, sex, money, just people saying, oh, you know, giving you constant validation that you've done something well, or your boss tapping on your shoulder saying how good you've managed this or that project. And I feel it's so needed to ask ourselves and to dive deeper into that and really ask ourselves what's our motivation, where does it come from, and where is it leading us?
Well, I think when we come from more of a place of wholeness, I think for me it's definitely a journey, still is, but I always have to check in with myself, like, okay, am I launching this, you know, what, you know, how am I helping people? You know, obviously I think when you are in alignment with, you know, the collective kind of universal dharma, which is really the desire to, you know, an acorn wants to become an oak tree, you know, we all have a desire to become something. And I think that we have to just align that with being sustainable. And I think sometimes we try and grow too much to create that validation that maybe we did not receive growing up or whatever. And I think that sometimes really impacts us, because we're always chasing more. We always need more money and more this, more that. When's it enough? You know, when is it enough? And I think so many, myself included, it's like, because I don't feel like I'm enough. Nothing external will ever fulfill that hole. And that's when we burn out, because we're just chasing this like tail and it's never ending, you know, chasing the carrot.
Yeah, totally. And that's why it's so important to do the inner work and to sit down with yourself and ask yourself, what do you want of life? What's really important to you? What matters? And yeah, that's part of the reason, I guess, too, why I'm doing this podcast and bringing people like you on here to talk about this stuff, because you will never be free unless you sit down and you know, really deal with what's happening inside you and get on top of that, or at least become aware of that to a good portion. And the same with healing, you know, we can tend to the outer stuff, but we have to go deep within to fully heal. And I believe that's still a message that's not out there clear enough, especially in our Western medical system. Yeah. And I mean, you can easily look at the worldwide situation with this, with COVID. You know, it's also like a lot of the solutions, a lot of the fixes that are suggested or that applied at the moment, they won't fix the issue itself of a virus mutating. But yeah, that's all that I want to say to that. It's just something that's crossing my mind.
That's why we have to empower our mind and therefore empower our immune system, because the more that we can empower our mind to understand that we are so powerful when it comes to our health, like, you know, we are the placebo in terms of, if we think we're going to get sick and we're going to get cancer, like my aunt did, we're probably going to, and we obviously have an unhealthy lifestyle, of course, but I think there's such a magical piece in that, is like, what we think is so powerful. And if we think, you know, empowering thoughts, that's going to ultimately serve our greatest, highest interest. So I think that's a big piece. I think changing that, that shift in consciousness, because it's so easy to jump back into a negative state of being. And I think that's something that I really had to work on the last year, is, and something that I really am feeling I embody now, is like, yes, shit happens. And I know I have times where I'm like, oh my God, this sucks. But I know deep in my heart that I have these tools, I have the resources to jump back to a state of love, joy, gratitude, inspiration. And that's really the healing journey. It's not that you're, you know, not going to feel shit one day, or you're going to have health issues, and you know, we all experience that, it's just life. But it's, can you empower yourself to get back up and really you know, the journey of self-love and self-healing is not that we're not going to fall out of balance. That's bullshit, because we will fall out of balance. The journey of self-love and self-healing, from my perspective, is knowing and having that sheer faith and Shakti power, we call it, trust, that whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. Because I know I'm the creator of my reality, and my internal state reflects my external state. And when I empower myself, that will be a reflection of my external world. And knowing that is a big game changer for, I think, a lot of people.
Definitely. And also knowing that you have the tools at hand that you can bring yourself back into balance when you fall off balance. And I love that you stress that point, that, you know, as humans, we're not falling off balance, but if we do, we're able to bring us back into it. And that's the crucial point.
Dealing with a big part of Ayurveda, the doshas, is all about, dosha means what that goes out of balance, or fault line, or defect. So when people ask, I want to know my dosha, you don't really want to be a dosha. You want to know what your prakriti, or what your true nature is, so then you can bring yourself back into balance. And Ayurveda is all based on this principle that you're different to me, and I have different energy in my body than you do, different elements. So I think when people, that's what I love about Ayurveda, is because what will work for me may not work for you. And And I think that's what maybe lacks in Western medicine, even though it's incredible for, you know, it's, you know, if you break your arm, you go see a doctor, or if you need heart surgery, go see a doctor. But there's a lack of the mind-body connection, and there's a lack of not one size fits all. So I think that's what I really want to bring forth, is that I want to help people really fine-tune their own intuition and wisdom, so they know, okay, I have digestive issue today, or I have anxiety, or I have fatigue. How can I bring myself in balance? What practice can I do? What tea can I make? What food can I eat? What meditation can I do? You know, what song can I put on that's going to change my state, and so I feel in a high mood? You know, all these subtle things are very simple, but when we're in that low state and we feel shitty, it's sometimes hard to, you know, sometimes we want the quick fix, we want the pill, we want the medicine, and, you know, that's great sometimes, but, you know, consistently over our life, it's definitely not the solution, I believe.
Yeah. So let's dive into the practical side of things a little bit more, starting with digestion. So experiences from your coaching work with women, What are signs of imbalance, and is there anything for women in specific that they struggle with when it comes to digestion? Is there something that's like a common theme?
Yeah, I think it's just for most, it's not being able to, it's not necessarily digesting. Yeah, Ayurveda is not what you eat, it's what you digest. So we can have this beautiful diet of whole foods, vegan, plant-based, whatever you want to label it, but if we can't digest and assimilate, then that's going to really cause ama, which is toxicity in the body. And that's why a lot of women come to me, because they can't actually assimilate the foods they're taking. And like I said, the piece before, it's that piece of, you know, on a mind-body connection, because, you know, the gut and the mind are connected. We make all of our serotonin, all our hormones in the gut. So really, I question, you know, when it's a digestive issue, it's normally related to a hormone issue. And the hormone issue, one of my teachers, Dr. Claudia Wall, she's an Ayurvedic doctor, you know, she says our hormones are a direct reflection of the levels of satisfaction in our lives. So what does that mean? If we are constantly choosing to, you know, have that extra cup of coffee, have, you know, indulge in that piece of cake, or go out with that guy that's not serving us, or work for that person that is stressing us out, over time, these subtle signs are going to affect our digestion. And it sounds silly, but it's so powerful. Like, if we are in an environment that is not supporting and sustaining our growth, that's going to show up in many different ways. So when we are not digesting our food, it's because we're not digesting our life experiences. And that was a big one for me with my work. And I realize that now. And I think so many, the women that come to me are all women that, you know, I've experienced the same issues. And I think that's the beauty of this, is like, we help people that have been where we are. And I think so a big part of the digestive piece is like, yes, we can, you know, we can cleanse the body and we can do some self-care practices, and that's going to really help. But if you don't change your choices, they're going to have an impact on your emotional, mental, spiritual health. So that's where the real self-love comes in. Are you willing to change the story? Are you willing to change the thing that keeps making you sick? And that's where the self-love comes in, because you're really actually going into that unknown and taking that choice that's really uncomfortable in the moment, but you know it's going to lead you to greater expansion.
Yeah, so that's really the focus on the long term and not choosing what's comfortable in the moment right now, or what feels good, you know, having your coffee and your cake alongside it, but yeah, making those shifts that will help you lead a life that's filled with more well-being in the long run. Yeah, I'm a big...
I was just saying the Agni piece, like our digestion in Ayurveda is called Agni, it's called fire. And, you know, when we have strong digestion, we can assimilate our food and turn it into nourishment. We can, you know, we can eat a pizza, we can do, you know, we can have those things that are a little bit, you know, fun and naughty, and we can eat it and it's going to be fine because we can digest it. Same with when we are in a more stable place with our job, our finances, our health, you know, we can, you know, have a little bit of room to explore. And I think that's the thing of Ayurveda is not some strict like diet or anything like that. It's just really coming back into balance. And then from that place, you have that greater capacity or a level of awareness to then make more conscious choices based on your past experiences. And knowing that, okay, I've done this before, it's given me this result. It was not very nice. It was a bit uncomfortable. If I keep choosing that, it's going to be more suffering. Or if I'm going to change the direction of my life or the direction of where I want to go, yes, it might be a bit uncomfortable to begin with because change is uncomfortable, but it's going to be the most fulfilling and nourishing path eventually, and having that trust that will happen.
And as you said, being aware that if we eat that pizza or that piece of cake, we can do so, that's fine. But when we have developed that stability or that ground that makes us kind of stable, and we also know how we feel afterwards. So it's like a conscious choice and not just eating something random, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, like with everything, the more self-awareness we can practice, the more presence we can bring to this very moment right here, right now. Like how many people are listening right now to this podcast and doing other things? And that's just really like our level of attention, our level of focus. I mean, don't get me wrong, I do it too. I'm guilty of it. You know, that's why podcasts are great, because you can listen and do multiple things. But, you know, our level of
I can't. I mean, I sometimes try, but I realized very quickly that I didn't listen to what they just said on the podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just as a side note.
I agree, but I do believe the more that we can bring presence into our lives and every aspect of our eating, of our love making, of our work, of our, you know, walking in the beach, just the simplicity of life. I really think the self-love journey is really just being alive in the present moment and not thinking of, you know, tomorrow or the past, like just really being, you know, so absorbed in this moment and just being like, wow, I'm having this incredible chat with you. You know, I get to share this awesome wisdom and connect with people around the world, like, and just being so grateful for that. And I think that really is a big part of, yeah, like healing and really not really having always have to be somewhere or do something and just being okay with where you're at and knowing that's enough. You are enough, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's such a hard one, right? The just being present and being okay with where you are and being okay in that moment. Because we're always running off in our minds. Well, that's at least what I do. And that's where practice helps me to really come back and center and ground myself. And okay. Let's touch on one more practical thing. Is it coffee or cacao? Because I know a lot of people, they love their coffee, me included. I just had my morning coffee while we were chatting, and you posted something recently, and I know that people love talking about, ooh, is coffee good or bad? And what does it do to my health and my well-being? And yeah, so...
I think for me, it's a good question. I think for me, it's not that it's good or bad. I think when we label things, then the mind is like, oh, coffee's bad for me. You know, if you think coffee's bad for you, then you're going to have, you know, worse symptoms than if you just drink it and enjoy it, I think. But I believe, you know, what it's not really if it's good or bad. I mean, I personally believe it depends on your dosha type. So Vata and Pitta definitely, especially Vata, I'm more Vata constitution. So that definitely
so help happens. Us help the listeners understand just roughly what's Vata. Can they identify their Vata?
Of course, yeah, definitely. So Vata is the element. So Ayurveda is based on the elements. The doshas are the elements within inside of us. So the five elements are air, ether, water, fire, and earth. So, you know, these elements make up the whole world. They make up us. And, you know, don't get too phased about the actual wording of it, but Vata is the element of air and ether. So what does that mean in the body? It means that I have naturally more wind like energy, because that just makes me a little bit more creative. It is related to the nervous system. So for example, coffee is a stimulant, so it just acts a little bit more, like attracts light. So that basically increases the element of movement in my body. So wind is fast, it's moving quickly. So when I have coffee, I'm like, and I'm not present, I'm not focused. And more so, it keeps us attached to the ego, because it's not really if it's good or bad, but how much are you attached to it? How much are you attached to it, Kat? Could you go a week without it and not be attached to it?
What, a week? No, it would be hard, but I think I could, yeah.
that's the practice is, you know, and I'll go through the other doshas too, but the practice is not that we can't have something. And Ayurveda states that everything can be a poison or a medicine. So I love, you know, I love having a cup of coffee now, once in a while, maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks, depending on my cycle, depending on where I'm at, depending on my own level of groundedness, because it's that ability to tune in and be like, okay, is my vata high? Have I got a vata imbalance right now? Because if I do, that's going to increase dryness in my body, constipation, it's going to exert my energy and then deplete me. So for me, it's questioning, okay, is it serving me in this moment? And a lot of the time, if we're having something every single day, it's an attachment to it. And it's really, you know, when we become attached to something, it's, you know, it's giving us energy in the moment, but it's taking from tomorrow's energy reserves. So eventually that's going to deplete us over time. So then the pitta energy is the fire.
I love that point. Just jumping in here to really stress that it's taking from tomorrow's energy reserves.
Yes, yes.
And so it's, again, this long-term thinking. Maybe it doesn't affect you in a year critically. Maybe not in 2 years, but maybe in 5 or 10.
Yeah, so. Well, that's why so many women have hormonal issues. They have depletion because we're burning the candles at both ends. We're doing more because we don't – there's a feeling of not feeling enough. So if I do more, eventually I'll feel good enough. If I earn more, but you know, that's a never ending spiral. So with the coffee piece or with anything that gives us this false sense of pretenses, it's really just, it's keeping us in that loop of needing to achieve and do more. And I think, you know, we're human beings and we don't need to do more. And I think that's the big part of what I've learned the last year is I thought I had to do more. And I realized that I actually have to do less. I just have to do it a little bit better and also a bit slower. And that's where that present piece comes in. So, yeah, I think just going back to the pitta is fire and water. So pitta type people, I have that element in me too, you as well. We're more fiery nature, you know, we are a little bit more fiery. Vata is a little bit more anxious, more creative. They're all doshas. We have all three within us, but we have one and two doshas that are a bit more prominent. So I have around, I think, 60% vata, 40% pitta, a little bit of kapha, but not much. So I don't have that stability, that groundedness. Kapha is earth and water. So, you know, earth and water is like mud, it's sticky. So what does that mean in the body? When we have too much kapha, excess kapha, we feel lethargic, we feel heavy. You know, if we eat too much kapha-like foods, like, you know, dairy, ice cream, cheese, you know, cold things, that's all producing this cold like quality in the body. So when we have a kapha imbalance, that will show up as, you know, excess weight, mucus, lethargy. When we have a pitta imbalance, that's like the fire energy. We have heartburn, acid reflux, diarrhea, loose stools. We have this, you know, maybe we have an excess in appetite, which is not healthy either. And when you start to see the qualities that we have within us, if you're a pitta type person, if you're going to eat hot, spicy food living in Bali and go to the gym in the middle of the day, that's, you know, like increases like. So we're going to bring more heat in the body. So over time, you're going to experience more pitta like health issues. And that's why Ayurveda is really cool, because vata has specific health issues like anxiety, insomnia, reproductive issues. I mean, each dosha has them, but vata more so. Fatigue, waking up in the middle of the night, you know, dry skin, dry nails, that's more Vata type. It's got more of that air element in it, that drying element. And Pitta has these heating qualities, you know. Probably you see a Pitta man, he's bald hair, it's because he's burnt out. His fire, his Agni is very hot. So he's basically burning a lot of energy. And that, you know, that's why the Pitta type people are the ones that have, you know, the heart attacks and the strokes. And then the Kapha type people are more the ones that get a little bit more prone to overweight, obesity, and just, you know, diabetes, heart disease. So when we start to know our doshic constitution, we know when we're out of balance. And you can be a Kapha person with a Vata imbalance, or you can be a Pitta person with a Vata imbalance. And really, the process of Ayurveda is, obviously, like attracts like. So when we want to bring the body back into balance, we want to have the opposite quality. So if I'm a Pitta type person, we want to reduce the Vata type qualities in our diet and our lifestyle. That will naturally bring us back into harmony with our natural prakriti or Pitta constitution. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Well, it does to me, at least. I have a little bit of knowledge of Ayurveda, but yeah, I find your examples were very vivid and very practical. You know, I think all people listening have a certain image in their mind now. They can relate to it, I'm pretty sure. And I love this part of the conversation too, because it's so practical and it's just daily life, right? Like, do you have your coffee in the morning or not? Or do you have it later in the day maybe? Or do you skip it for a few days a week or have it only twice a year?
Or just swap it with cacao. Like, I think that's a big thing. It's like you can just replace it with something. Sometimes it's hard to change that habit. So find something like have a chai or have a tea or a cacao and, you know, just get into that process of non-attachment. Like, I can have a coffee, but I don't need it. Like today, I actually feel really energized. And often enough, when I guide people through cleansing and kind of elimination diets, as soon as they get off the coffee for a couple of weeks, they feel so much better without it. So it's quite funny once you do that detox.
Yeah, I should do it again too soon. I've had a few phases where I was off coffee over the past years, but I think not for at least half a year now or so, but I've been contemplating it because I feel it might actually be more, help me focus, especially in phases where I have to do a lot and a lot of different projects. So where my mind is naturally already going like in several directions. So it's, great advice with like substituting it with something else that you like, be it a chai or some form of other tea or cacao, or maybe what I personally love, what I find a super good coffee substitution is medicinal mushroom powders. Yeah, they taste quite earthy, and I don't know, for me they give me this coffee feel. They're really close to
it. Yeah, chicory root as well tastes like coffee.
True, yeah. Okay, there you go, guys, ladies listening. you have options.
Yeah, and also there's a saying, actually, I just want to say something. Is my teacher said to me, you know, if you find something hard to give up, it's not the time to give it up. There'll be a natural progression in your spiritual growth or in your practices or in your development, that giving that thing up will be effortless because you'll know it's just the right time. So I think with anything in life, giving up a relationship, giving up coffee, giving up alcohol or addiction or food or whatever it is for you, that, you know, we all have our own thing that kind of is our safety net, you know. There'll be a natural time, I really believe, in your evolution that will let it go. Because, you know, death is evolution, and to transform, we have to change form. So we have to be willing to let go of the things that are not sustaining us over a period of our lifetime.
Yeah, I love it. That's good. And that will bring a lot of comfort to a lot of people listening, I reckon.
I hope.
So diving just into your work, tell us, how do you work? Do you work one-on-one or with groups, with group programs? Yeah, give us a little insight.
I'm really excited, actually. The last year, I've just been building my online community. So I run, my main offering is an 8-week healing program. So that's an Ayurvedic program, diving into, you know, specifically working with female leaders, so how to optimize your energy levels and support you throughout your growth. So a lot of the women I work with are in Europe, and they're in corporate jobs or entrepreneurs or, you know, mamas or, you know, people that are kind of, they're out there in the world, and they're really having impact in whatever business they're doing, but they are unfortunately burning themselves out in the process. So they come to me, you know, usually with a digestive issue, skin issue, energy, fatigue, health or hormonal imbalance, you know, some form of, you know, sign that the body's not, you know, functioning optimally. Mm. And then we kind of go on this journey together. And I think it's, you know, I'm just teaching the things that have been really powerful for me and other clients. And like I said, I kind of really tailor it made to, you know, to meet your specific needs. And I obviously have a lot of tools and practices and all that kind of stuff. And we do a lot of cleansing and mindset and really establishing a spiritual practice. So, yoga meditation practice is really a key principle in this 8-week program to really guide you on your path. So when we finish working together, you feel very empowered and you feel very excited because you have all these, you know, tools, and you know you can sustain yourself and you can grow and unlock that potential within you, and you will not be held back by the digestive or the skin issue or the thing that was, you know, holding you back in the past. So yeah, a lot of the work we do is like based on that mind-body connection and really healing it at the root and really overcoming any of those limiting beliefs and things that hold us back from shining our light. So that's my 8-week program, which I love that. It's really powerful.
This is one-on-one just.
Yes, this is one-on-one, and that's my signature program. And yeah, I only work with a small few people each month because it's quite intensive. So
yeah,
each week we work together 60 minutes, and then you have a lot of self-care practices and cleansing and things to do in the meantime. So yeah, and then I have my group coaching program that I'm launching actually in the 12th of March. I'm not sure, it's going to be probably already started by this podcast finishes, but I'm sure it will, you know, I'll redo it in another couple of months where, you know, when I've, you know, got some feedback on it, optimized it. So that's a group training for females, and they really want to, you know, same kind of like with the 8-week program, it's really how can we nourish and sustain our growth and maximize our potential without feeling depleted and really honoring our needs and knowing how to bring ourselves back into balance. So a lot of things will be taught from the 8-week program because I know it works, but it will just be in a group setting, so it's a bit more accessible, a bit more affordable for women. And it's beautiful just being in a community of women. I think it's so empowering. So it's definitely going to be a lot of fun. And then I have my women's circle each week. So every Sunday I host a women's circle, which is just a great way to connect. I give out 2 free spots a week. So if there's anyone listening that would like to join us and come have some chats and have some fun, then feel free to connect. And I'm still waiting to get Kat on board. I know you're
love
to join one week.
I just wanted to say I'm always tempted. Maybe I'll hop on next week.
Yeah, yes, I love
it. I'm actually super inspired to do so.
You know, it's sometimes people think, oh, what, you know, but when you start to speak to women, oh my God, it's so beautiful because you realize that we're all going through the same things, like we all have the same problems, and it just makes you feel like, oh, I'm not the only one. So it's really beautiful, and we just all get to share each other's wisdom because I really believe that we could all learn so much from one another. And I think that's a big part of the self-love journey, is like realizing that we don't know everything. And I think that's really humbling sometimes, is remaining the student and just, you know, having that humility to realize that we don't know everything and, you know, we can always learn from other people. So yeah, that's me. And obviously, yeah, I regularly run workshops. I have a Yoni Steam workshop coming up. I regularly do like an Ayurvedic workshop, introduction to Ayurveda, and yeah, just stay tuned. And I always have.
And what's the Yoni Steam? Because I guess a lot of people will be now like, what is this Yoni Steaming?
Well, Yoni Steaming is an ancient practice for reproductive health. So it's really just to, for many women, they're experiencing, you know, endometriosis, PCOS, missed periods, cysts, fibroids. I have a lot of clients with reproductive hormonal issues. And the steam acts as it basically cleanses the uterus, basically the lining of the uterus that gets so full of stagnation. So we need to cleanse each month through our monthly cycle. And often or not, women, because we're stressed, because we're in a more of a masculine dominated cycle, you know, we are constantly overdoing and depleting our energy reserves. And that results in us having this stagnation. So many women aren't experiencing full, you know, full periods, or they have a lot of menstrual cramps, PMS. So a lot of the work that I do with women is really using these self-care practices to heal and to minimize any of these issues and prevent them as well. So I'll be teaching the workshop on the 20th of March, but I'm sure I'll do it again in the future if any of you girls, ladies, they want to learn more about it. And it, yeah, it's very powerful.
Yeah, thank you for that, for explaining that. Because as you said, they're just looking into my circle of women, you know, friends and acquaintances, I think I can count at least 10 who have some issue going on, like being endometriosis or cysts or painful periods. I mean, this is super, super common, and people just assume it's normal. Well, yeah, you get your period and you have these bad cramps and you have to take anti-inflammatories, painkillers. No, it's not normal. If you're experiencing that, look into it. It shouldn't be that way.
I mean, and it's an incredible practice for increasing fertility for premenopausal women. For women that want to even for me, I don't necessarily have any reproductive issues. I have a great cycle, but for me, I do it's preventative. It's like I don't want to wait until I have something to then have to do it. But of course, it's great if you do have something, but you don't have to have anything typically wrong with you to do this. And it's a very simple practice, very easy to do, very beautiful, really, really pleasurable, actually, really nice. It's just using herbs, medicinal herbs, boiling them in a pan, and then steaming them, and then using some form of, I don't know, bench or box to sit over them, the steam, and you just allow the steam to go into your yoni, and it feels incredible, and it's like super healing for any sexual trauma, cleansing that, you know, really like allowing that space to be cleared of any energetic cords that you've had with men in the past that you maybe want to clear out. And it's really funny because when you do it, always guys, like your ex-partners or people that you've slept with, message you. It's like they feel you've energetically cut that.
That's crazy. Cord.
Honestly, Kat, I'll have to teach you how to do it. You have to join the workshop. Come join it and see for yourself.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. That sounds, that sounds super interesting, actually. So this, well, I'm just blown away because there's so many things we are not taught, we don't hear about, you know, in our day to day, in our media, delivering us like providing us with brilliant news every day, but not talking about the real stuff. So, yeah, appreciate that. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners?
I really hope that you have taken something out of it and that it's inspired you to maybe go on your own journey. Sorry, it's my phone. self-discovery journey. Maybe you want to go learn about Ayurveda, read a book, or, you know, like I said, I post a lot of free content on my Instagram, and I love to share, you know, the wisdom in my kind of authentic way. And yeah, I guess some people it will resonate with, and maybe some people it won't, and that's okay. And I really believe that, you know, if it feels like something you want to explore, then explore it. And yeah, it's just got so many healing powers, potentials, and not just physically, but just, you know, really helping you remember who you are and bringing you back to that most authentic self that, you know, that has this incredible amount of love and joy. And I think that's why we're all here, is to help us remember that. And you know, life can always be difficult, and we need to remember the light, remember the joy, and remember the things that, you know, make us laugh. And I think that's really important. So yeah, Ayurveda has kind of helped me take myself a little bit less seriously, which I think is sometimes good.
Beautiful. And I believe super uplifting, especially in these times where we can be dragged into kind of a down spiral or feel depressed.
Yeah.
Especially, well, with us in those parts of the world still being in lockdown and, you know, being deprived of our social encounters. So that's really uplifting message.
Yeah, connection is so important. I think for me, connection is the most powerful healing that we have. And I think that's something that I know in my own healing journey, like having someone believe in me, like my partner, Jord, he has been such a pillar of strength. And having someone that believes in you and that really can see your own potential is very powerful for healing. And I think find someone or somebody or a community that support your growth and your expansion, and that really are rooting for you to shine your light, because I think that is the medicine for sure.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today, for sharing all your wisdom and your personal story with us. I always love to bring out personal stories that inspire and that hopefully inspire people to live a more fulfilled and freer and more empowered life.
Thank you so much for having me, and yeah, I look forward to, yeah, I'm sure we'll do this again another time, and you're going to be on my podcast, so I can't wait to interview you as well and hear about your journey.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat.
I really hope you enjoyed this conversation, and I hope that you leave inspired, be it to just be a little bit gentler to yourself and maybe put some extra tender loving care on yourself, or to dive deeper into some of the things that are going on inside of you or around you and that you have been shying away from. Let us know what you think. Let us know your thoughts. You can reach out to Briah and to me. You find all our contact details in the show notes. And as always, if you listened and you liked this conversation, please share it with friends or family members or on your social media. Especially when you're on Instagram, just take a screenshot while you're listening and share it and tag Briah and me. And when you're listening on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please leave a 5-star rating. And if you feel inspired, even a little review. So just click subscribe, then click on the 5 stars and then write the little review. That helps me so much to grow my listenership and to bring the message of freedom and empowerment out to more people. Thank you so much, and have a beautiful weekend.